Episode 135.
We want to be a dealership. We want to be just like a dealership, but we're only this big. Because I think that you went into a lot of dealerships, they go, yeah, that's really cool, and the people act a certain way. You came into us, you go, yep, everybody acts a certain way, looks a certain way, and it's just smaller. And it's more personal. And so we feel that that personal touch, I mean, we've got a lot of really great people on the front counter that are so friendly. I mean, it amazes me sometimes. I mean, I've just got to go pat them on the back and say, man, how you just said that to the person. You sound like their best friend. I mean, who wouldn't want to work with somebody like that?
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriotto here, and thanks for listening to Remarkable Results Radio podcast, where listening is easy through the RemarkableResultsRadio.com website, on Apple iTunes, Google Play Music, Spreaker, and Stitcher Radio. And welcome to episode 135 with Gary Plimmer from Gary's Automotive, who just so happens to have been recognized as NAPA's 2013 ASE Tech of the Year. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Search for parts, get the latest technical updates, and sign up for their new Garage Rewards loyalty program at their all-new website, fmmotorparts.com. Hey, a favor. If you're an iTunes listener, click on the rating and review, and if you appreciate the podcast, give us a real nice review and rating. These small gestures really help the podcast. Hey, if you're a mobile listener, I thank you very much. You are so in tune with your subscription that when the new episodes are released, you've got them on your mobile device. But don't forget to check out each episode on the website. There is typically an in-depth bio on our guest, additional information on his or her business, links to the business or organization, and of late, a lot of additional pictures. Not only a place to listen, but even more background on each guest on the episode's show notes page. Now, get ready to meet Gary Plimmer, NAPA's 2013 ASE Technician of the Year. Now, with this interview, it makes four episodes featuring NAPA ASE Techs of the Year. If you want to listen to them all, go to the search icon in the menu bar and type in NAPA. I'm sure you'll find them all there. Gary Plimmer has a great story, having come from being a diesel mechanic in the Navy with a stint selling used tractor parts to his highly recognized and successful business. The interview is packed with great Gary stories to include his huge customer service experience and how it integrates with his strong retention strategies. You'll also hear about his training culture for his techs and service advisors, his own personal e-myth story, what he feels is his most powerful leadership strength, and a great story on the power of his marketing. Now get ready to harvest many great ideas from Gary Plimmer from Gary's Automotive. Here we go. Nice to be with Gary Plimmer from Gary's Automotive in Boise, Idaho. Gary, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
Good morning, Carm. Yes, I am ready to share my remarkable results.
Thank you, man. So the potato truck has been out in the country. Did you help keep that thing on the road, the Idaho potato truck?
I wish it was true that we'd got to do the tune-up on it or at least polished a wheel, but we got to wave them off as they drove off across the country to promote Idaho. And hopefully everybody got the chance to take a look. And next time you go to the store, buy Idaho, right?
Buy Idaho and take care of Boise. Hey, I have to tell you something. I'm so happy to have you. I'm actually proud to have you because without even a strategy plan of who I was going to ever interview when I started, I jumped into, you know, bumped into Joe Seifert, NAPA Tech of the Year of 2014, and then I interviewed Tom Palermo and then John Epstein, who says, you got to call Gary. And so you were the 2013 NAPA ASE Tech of the Year. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It was quite an honor and quite an event. NAPA are great people. When you would go through that experience, wow, they really take care of you. It's a pretty awesome thing to have happen.
Did it change you?
I think from the standpoint of that you become much more public, yes. Uh-huh. I think at the same time you certainly have a new realization that you are probably some sort of a marker in the industry of how things should be done, and you need to uphold that. And certainly we've, you know, tried to do that. And
a little pressure.
A little pressure.
There's nothing wrong with a little bookend here or there, is there?
No, there isn't. I think it's really been a good thing. I think we've always tried hard, and that's just that extra push to get us right to the top. So,
excellent.
Great experience.
Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you very much.
Gary, when did you know you wanted to own a business?
Well, I think, Carm, I'd managed shops for a long time, and I knew that people didn't always agree with the way I wanted things done, upper management.
Yeah.
And so I knew that the only way I was going to get around that was to be able to have my own place. And so with the experience that I had as a manager and a technician, I felt like I could go out and do that. But that's probably been, oh gosh, late 80s.
Okay, but it was a walk late in the 80s. Park. It was easy, right?
Oh, sure it was. Sure it was. I mean, I went through a couple of different tries at different things. It's kind of funny. I actually had a tractor parts business where I bought old tractors and took them apart and sold the parts across the nation. Mm-hmm. And that flopped, and so I ended up doing car repairs and opening up a small shop to keep the bills paid. And lo and behold, we shot off in that direction. It just took off like a rocket, and we've been running down that road ever since.
So think back to when you started and you went through all these business iterations. Think of today. What's your biggest strength today as an entrepreneur?
I think my biggest strength today is I think I'm a fairly good judge of character. People, you know, I can certainly talk to somebody and decide if they're somebody that's going to be good for our business. Speaking of employees, I think that's a trait that you need to master over time, because we certainly went through a bunch before we got where we are today. But at the same time, I think I'm a pretty good decision maker, and that's needed a whole bunch when you're the leader.
So do you trust your intuition like almost all the time?
Almost all the time. I certainly have a great team that I have the advantage to be able to sit down with and ask, what do you think about this, that, or the other thing? I think that's fantastic. But we also have a business coach that is really good for us, and we can do the same thing there. So we've got a lot of tools in our pouch.
And who are you with?
I'm with RLO Training Group out of Seattle, and John Woffler is my coach. And it's just been awesome experience to be able to be part of that organization, and all they give me, and I get to give back to them, and it's just been a great relationship for me for the last 6 years now.
Good for you. I hear a lot of great things about RLO and John.
Yeah.
Gary, how did you master your transformation from technician to businessman?
I think for me it was fairly easy, because I enjoy turning wrenches. But I really like to manage and organize. I think that's a bigger part of me. So for me, it was an easier transition to walk away from turning wrenches and hire somebody and work on training them and work on having procedures so it's easier for them to go in the same direction each and every time. I think that came really easy to me. So it was easy to step away and do that. And even to this day, very rarely would you see me turning wrenches, because I do a better job of time spent with customers, time spent with our team, just honing the way we do things. And so, yeah, I think that's, for me, it was easy.
Great. I'm talking to Bud Houston, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Hey, Bud, what's the best thing about the Guru on the Go van?
Yeah, I think that the best thing about the van and the kind of the mission is it's twofold. One is ultimately to bring brand awareness of the Federal Mogul portfolio. But I think the way that we do that is we bring value to the technician, the shop owner. And how we do that is we bring technical content, we bring some updated material. And once they see that I care about their operation, their reputation, and their qualifications, one, they're built up, but two, they really at that point listen to what I have to say about the brands, and it's built, the relationship is built on a mutual benefit.
So you bring technical stuff and you bring product specific.
Yeah, me personally, I'm super technical background. So anytime I'm doing a lunch and learn or a van visit, training session, it's typically 90% technical, 10% product.
Any new Moog products that are getting good reviews?
Yeah, one that's recently released is the Dodge Ram 25 and 3500 complete steering assembly. It's inner and outer tie rod ends and drag link pre-assembled. This is the first aftermarket part that's available in a complete assembly for this application. And the specific application to late model Dodge Rams are actually a kind of a high failure part on the chassis parts.
What about the compression-loaded ball joints with pre-installed integral dust boot?
Yeah, the integral dust boot has been a huge hit. Initially, the idea was well, where is the boot? And then once you kind of get around and show people, they're like, well, that is the best idea I've ever seen because I've torn so many boots on installation or I've had a boot that's not seated properly. And they're like, well, that's just not an issue now. And they love it.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. What does being successful mean to you?
I guess a couple of different things. I think for us, we've got 12 people working here, and I think that success for me is knowing that these guys have a job. I think they've got good jobs. They enjoy working here. They want to be here for a long time. And I think that's, for me, is really being successful. But at the same time, I could stand in a, you know, kind of a funny thing. I was in a line at the Lowe's the other day, and some gal was telling another gal she needed to get her oil change done. And the gal says, I need to get mine done too, but I'm waiting for that place over on Cole Road who has that free oil change for to a certain name every Friday to come up with my name on there, and then I'm going to shoot in there and get my oil change. Of course, I'm standing back there in the line going, yes. So when you get to be known in your community by different things that you do, I mean, that's been a really big thing for us too, because we like to be involved in and touch a lot of things.
You mean she was talking about your shop?
Absolutely. And I was right. And Carm, that wasn't the first time. I've been in other places when I've heard them mention somebody talking about us. I'm standing in line at a grocery store. This is a different one at Albertsons. And these people were talking about needing to get their car done. I'm thinking, wow. I mean, how good does that make you feel that all the efforts that you put into marketing and your team and making customers feel good about coming here, and all of a sudden you hear one person just referring another to you right in the grocery line?
Okay, what's the secret? Is it the sheer culture of your customer service? Is it the internet marketing, advertising, AdWords? What are one or two great things that make this word of mouth work?
Right. I think the customer experience, we work on it constantly.
Uh-huh.
We're always trying to find a new way. What can we do to make our customers feel a little bit better? Matter of fact, when we met this morning with our technician meeting, we meet every other week, and at Service Advisors, we work a week in between that. But anyway, we do a culture guide, and we talk about the different things that we could do to make ourselves better people, but better representatives for Gary's Automotive. And I think that just comes out. I mean, when customers come in, we do our second day calls, and we have customers give us feedback it's just incredible, but fantastic experience. I'm going to tell everybody this, that, and the other thing. So and so was great. This happened and that happened. And when you hear all of those things, it boils down to the customer experience. We're just looking at every facet of it and go, how can we tweak it a little more? Because we really want people to be excited.
I think what I just heard is a little strategy on your retention, didn't I?
Yes.
Yeah, about that second day call. Give me a couple minutes on your retention strategy.
Well, I think on our retention strategy, certainly, I guess most of my marketing is focused in that direction, but let's just take the second day call and why it's important. We have a designated person that comes in, and they will pull the phone numbers for everybody that cars left 2 days ago, and we'll call and we have a script that they go through, and we just want to know, how was your experience? You know, did everything go good? And is there anything that we can help with? And certainly we get a lot of positive feedback, and we take and put all of those notes onto a piece of paper. And we actually pass it around to everybody, and they kind of sign off on it so they know what's going on. And then we kind of post it for anybody that missed it. And sometimes customers just walk by and read it, and they go, dang, these people really like you. And I'm kind of like, well, we're sure trying. We appreciate our customers, and we want to see them come back. And that is just a huge part of, you know, that connection that we're trying to make with our customers. Yeah, yeah. Via that phone call,
the feedback that your call center person would be getting from that customer gets not only shared amongst your team, but you post it for your customers to see.
We actually post it down in a bulletin board down where they go near to get water and stuff like that.
Wow. Okay.
And matter of fact, I've got one in front of me, Carm. That's just, you know, if you look at it, it's a printout sheet. And it, you know, it's got all our pre-printed stuff,
phone numbers and stuff.
And then the notes that the gal wrote down there. And it's kind of like, great, running well. Had to wait for a little while for a part to come, but it worked out well. It was great. Thank you. It was good. AC still working. Everything went great. Oh, just fine. Everything running good. Went good. Haven't noticed
any leak. Okay.
So that's good.
I'm impressed. I love it. If you get a negative, what do you do?
We immediately goes to service advisor.
All right.
So if the gal that is making the phone calls hears of a negative, she gives to the service advisor and said, hey, they said this. And certainly they're going to respond to them. And then she will take that same piece of paper when they're done doing what they do and give it to me. And then you can only imagine from there, I just want to be involved and go, hey, you know, how'd it go? You know, is there anything that I can do to make this experience better for them? So I think we try and team up on our efforts to make sure that it's done and whatever we need to do.
Okay, so it's no stone unturned.
It's not.
Okay.
And we don't really want, I mean, if it's a bad review or it's a bad phone call, we do not want those wandering around out there, because we really believe that those can turn into something bigger down the road. So we just assume spend the money, spend the time, spend our whatever we need to make sure it's right.
I get it. And I'm glad we did a deep dive on that. Without a doubt, our listenership is going to appreciate what you're doing for that. Thank you so much. Gary, anything holding you back right now?
The only thing that really holds us back, I think, is physical size of our building.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, we continue to grow and evolve and get better, become more efficient. It's always a thing. We always want to be moving. We don't want to stay still. If there's something new, we'd like to weigh it. We don't want to jump on the bandwagon with everything. We want to make sure it's good for us, good for our customers, good for where we're at, our environment. But I think that, other than, you know, just physical size of our building, we have a smaller building.
Okay.
We run 7 bays, and that's on 3,500 square feet.
Mm.
But we'll hit $2 million this year, so we still pump a lot of work out of it.
It's a lot of production, huh?
Yeah, we've got enough people coming to us that we could do more, we could help more, and we'd like to do that, but I guess we're pretty comfortable with the staff that we have.
Anything wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning?
The biggest thing for me, I mean, I guess probably two different things. If we have any kind of unrest that's within one of our team members or a customer, either one of those, I just can't hardly go away.
It grinds on you.
It just grinds on me. I mean, you just want to have peace the best you can.
Yeah.
You know, and people enjoying what they're doing or what they're involved in. And I think that's the biggest thing for me. How can we fix that? If I went home and I didn't take care of something, of course, they're probably grateful that I don't call them in the middle of the night. But I do call them the next morning because I got to get it resolved.
I got to make a call. I get it. Hey, we all get great advice from people. What's the best advice you've ever gotten?
Oh, gosh, I've got so much good advice. I can't even condense it down into
a single soundbite, huh?
I don't think I could. I mean, it's just There's so many things. We just feel blessed with the people we've been involved with Napa. I mean, I tell the story, Carm, where we, my wife and I, we had a very small shop. It was two bays, and they had, the lift was out of doors. We live in Boise. It gets cold. It snows. So that was pretty rough running that lift in the wintertime. But we were had an opportunity at a point in time to build this bigger shop, bought land and built the shop. And then we started building up the personnel there, and we had opportunity to go to the Napa Expo, mm-hmm. which was in 2005. We opened the shop in March of 2005. The expo was later on that year.
All right.
And my wife and I went there as like sponges.
Mm-hmm.
We wrote down everything. We had so many different organizations come up and present material, and we just built a hit list out of that. And as we came home from that expo, we just used that as a hit list over the years and got it done and became really good at what we do. And I think that was just the benefit of going to something like that and really putting it to work. So we listen to people. Well, you know, whoever it is, if they've got good advice and are willing to share with us, we're just a result of all of those, all of that input, I suppose.
That's great. Being a perpetual student, that's one of my favorites.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a great, great term.
So how often do you sit down with your salesperson from Napa or Napa as a supplier and go over what, you know, your needs are?
I think we try and do that on a weekly basis. I think over time we've been a pretty steady follower of Napa for past 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we don't have to do it as much because it goes on autopilot at a point in time. But I know I'm expecting my salesman, after we're done with this conversation, I'm expecting my salesman to show up.
And
we're going to talk about a few different things on promos and warranties and different things and some different bulk products we're thinking about bringing on. So we get a chance to do that regularly. We think that's pretty important.
How important is the salesperson in your relationship with Napa?
I think it's pretty big. We've been fortunate to have some pretty good people that take the time to do what we need. They know that I'm fairly insistent. If you come to me and we talk, it's probably a learning curve between the two of us, and we talk, that you really need to get back with me on that sort of thing because, you know, it's just a follow-up thing. I'm pretty insistent on that, and people hold me accountable for a lot of things, and I do others. And I think that they are really good about following through and making sure things get done. So I think we gain a lot of ground through our communication.
That would be a great trait of a good salesperson to follow through and follow up.
Yep.
Hey,
yep.
So what's your warranty, Gary?
Our warranty is the Napa Peace of Mind, which is a 36-month, 36,000-mile nationwide Peace of Mind warranty. And we will do that internally, too. Now, how that all works, of course, the Napa standard Peace of Mind warranty is 24-24, and you can purchase the extension for about $150 a year to take it out to 36-36, which is great for your customers. But we've opted to, they won't do that internally, but we've opted to, we'll cover the internal ones that if something does go wrong in that extended period, there are customers. Let's take care of them.
Got it. Excellent. The learning culture inside of Gary's Automotive, can you tell me what it is?
We attended training just last week. We use the different training programs that come through, whether it be the Napa program or the CTI program. We try and train those techs that way. So they probably attend classes probably 6 to 10 times a year, which might seem like a lot, but you know, they're all master techs. We think that's important. And then I think that as far as our service advisors are concerned, we want to train them too.
Right.
So we've actually had them on different programs that they do weekly training. Another thing, this is a big thing, Carm. I think one of the most successful things that we've got going with our service advisors is we record all phone calls. And then what we'll do is we'll have a gal draw out an incoming, which is, you know, one of the service advisors answer the phone for an incoming, mm-hmm. maybe a price shopper or whatever it may be, and then an outgoing call, which we would call a sales call, where we've got their car in there, we've inspected it and found out what's wrong with it. We need to talk to them about what's going on. And we'll take one of those two calls for each both those calls for each service advisor, and we get together in a meeting. And we actually play that on a device. And we have a grading sheet. We have a grading sheet for the incoming phone call. We have a grading sheet for the outgoing phone call and the sales call. And it has everything from, you know, could you understand your name? Did you use their name? Did you present? We call it the 300% rule. Did you tell 100% of the customers 100% of the time 100% of what's wrong with their car so they can make a decision, not you? And I think that we even one of the things in there, okay, present what you need to present and be quiet. Hardest thing in the world for service advisors, be quiet.
Yeah, sit on your hands, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. let the customer think. But anyway, we grade each other with those sheets, and then you accumulate points.
Yeah.
And people are kind of joking with each other when they're listening to these phone call, our advisors, because there's six of us sitting in the room.
Uh-huh.
And so as we listen to these recordings and grade each other and then kind of joke with each other, and we kind of pause and, you know, use it as a teaching moment on a particular thing. And then we will, then as we're complete, then we'll give all those feedback sheets or grading sheets to that advisor for that particular phone call. And then we'll move on to the next one, to the next one. And it is an amazing way to, people don't want to hear, nobody wants to hear himself do the wrong things.
Right.
They want to go, well, I could have done better than that. So guess what they do the next time? They try harder and do better than that. So I think it's just the most amazing tool.
It's tough to have to listen to yourself. And I respect that great discipline you have going on. And I guess I would say that if you've got a business that does $2 million in the size shop that you have, this has got to be one of the magical pieces of why that happens or how that happens.
Yeah, I certainly, yes. Train. We've got to be good at what we're doing.
Wow.
We've got to go to the training classes. I'm certainly not adverse to a lot of different variety of that, but at the same time, meetings. We do meetings, and meetings are training.
Yeah,
I mean, it's very direct. Well, this is how we apply the training we took in class to what we're doing here, and we might not have caught that, you know, how to put those pieces together. So we feel that the meetings that we do, I'm in one every week, but you know, one with my advisor, one with my technicians, and we just throw it all out there. Let's get better.
Any unique system inside of Gary's Automotive that really is special that you could look back and say, that's what makes us unique?
I think we've taken the best of a lot of different worlds and tried to plug them all in. And we want to be a dealership. We want to be just like a dealership, but we're only this big. Because I think that you went into a lot of dealerships, they go, yeah, that's really cool, and the people act a certain way. You came into us, you go, yep, everybody acts a certain way, looks a certain way, and it's just smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more personal. And so we feel that personal touch, I mean, we've got a lot of really great people
right
on the front counter that are so friendly. I mean, it amazes me sometimes. I mean, I've just got to go pat them on the back and say, man, how you just said that to the person. You sound like their best friend.
Wow.
I mean, who wouldn't want to work with somebody like that? So certainly I think the biggest key to everything we do here is certainly our people. We have got a great staff. We've worked on building them for a long time, and we spend a lot of money doing things that we think they would like to make sure we don't lose them.
Well, I guess if you can't love your customer if you don't love your job and your company.
Right, exactly. I think that's really true. You know, it's kind of like this next coming weekend, what is it, the 23rd, so not this weekend, next one, we're actually doing a lake day. Everybody's getting together as a group. We're bringing their boats and jet skis and paddle boards, and you know, we're buying hot dogs and all kinds of different stuff to go with. But it's just a team building thing. We really appreciate these people, and we want everybody to enjoy one another, and we can all grow together and benefit from the growth of the company.
Are you converting first-time callers do you measure that? Are you successful at that?
I think we're about as successful as you can be. I think it's a challenge sometimes. I mean, certainly we spent almost a year with a trainer every week with the advisors trying to hone that process. It's difficult because we want to answer somebody's question, but they're not even sure what they are calling about sometimes. Sometimes they're asking you to do things or give them a price on things. You're kind of like, well, how do you even know that that's what it is? And so certainly we're trained to not give prices. We're trained to, please let us take a look at the car. I mean, yeah. We'll do it in the parking lot. We'll do it any way you want, but we want to make sure we're doing the right thing for you before we start giving you prices on something. And you get locked in your mind that that's exactly what it's going to cost and that's going to take care of your problem. We just don't want that. We want to make sure that we do it the right way. So I think that we as we kind of call people like that, or they call us and we discuss and we talk and we get all their information. That's important to us. We get their information before they hang up, and then we'll do callbacks. We'll give them a day or two, and we'll call them back and say, hey, you know, just checking to make sure that you didn't have any more questions regarding what we talked about on the phone. And if there is, maybe I can answer for him, but I've still got some open appointments on this day. And I think when you can make that extra effort for the follow-through, sometimes people will go, gosh, I haven't had anybody call me back yet and act like they cared remotely about, you know, me. And so – yeah, let's make that appointment.
By the way, I love your website.
Thank you.
It is such a, you know, now that I'm hearing your story and I'm thinking about what I saw on the website, man, it is who you are. And so I give you a lot of credit for
that.
Very,
appreciate that.
The pictures on it really kept me there. And I just kept wanting to see more. You did a great job with that. Telematics. Are you good with it? Are you afraid of it? Are you embracing it?
I'm afraid of it. I don't know if you've heard this or not. I mean, I think it's a struggle. I had the good fortune of being on the Napa National Auto Care Advisory for three different years for different reasons, and we've kind of piloted the telematics program with Napa.
Yeah.
We listened to different programs and we got some feedback, and we actually got some. I ended up picking Delphi as the telematics provider for Napa.
And my friend Malcolm Sismore, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you've probably heard that, you know, they had so much difficulty trying to get, you know, some release of information so that they could make the program work really well, that there's a point in time they just had to kind of give up on it, which they just did recently. And we're having to kind of retract and go get all our equipment back and all of that. And I think that they're going to try it from a different angle is the deal. I think it's a very difficult field because of everybody wants to – the manufacturers want to hold on to that information and they don't want to release things. And it just – it doesn't give you a complete package like they really want. I think as far as – and I speak from the Napa standpoint. I mean they're hoping that things will – they can get a better program going down the road. But – I think in cars and stuff like that that are from the manufacturer, they're great. They've got a lot of really cool stuff out there.
Got it. Aftermarket, you're not quite ready to settle.
Well, that's my big experience.
Got it.
It's with Delphi.
All right, Gary. Unlimited amount of money. Baskets, bushels of money. Don't know what to do with it. In fact, you go into the vault and you count it once a day just to be sure it's still there. If you had all that, what would you do in life?
Oh, gosh. I think we certainly enjoy what we're doing. We have done it for a long time. And I don't think I'd tell you today that I'd probably go out and buy five more shops personally. And I turned 60 in 4 weeks. And we've been blessed with being able to have two of our staff, two of our teammates that we have a succession plan with for the last 8 years. One of them's the service manager and one's the shop foreman. But we're seeing that all come about right now, which is really exciting. I mean, for me, probably for us, our retirement, we would like to travel a lot and do different things. So that's probably where we would spend money. But right now we're excited about we get to use this opportunity to see these guys' lives change because they have these new roles. And it's just such an exciting thing to see that all of they're excited. I mean, they're just pumped about this. But then here's the deal. We get to sell our business in the time frame that we want it to be in. We get to sell it to who we want to sell it to, somebody that we think will do a good job with it, and we get to sell it for the amount of money that we picked back when we picked up, you know, the way we would value the business. Mm-hmm. So we got to do all of that in a succession plan, and it's just an exciting thing.
Yeah.
So I think that we've been blessed with, you know, great sales, great profits, be able to pay our people well. We really don't need a whole heck of a lot more. We just want to see it carry on.
Got it. Great point. Thanks for sharing that. Do you own your dream car?
Do I own my dream car? Well, I got a pretty cool one. I've got a 05 C6 Corvette convertible.
Okay.
That's red and it's really fast and it's pretty cool. So, yeah.
All right. So, I guess you do. That's great.
Yeah. No, we enjoy that. And are there other cars that'd be okay? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what would that be? We'll pick one.
I don't know. I saw that new Viper that came out. Dang. That is an amazing car. We had this outfit next door that does a clear wrap on them. They were wrapping the whole front end of that car. And I just had to keep kind of walking over there and taking a look going, boy, that is really something.
You are an amazing guy. I love it. I'm so glad we hooked up and you came on the show. So Gary Plimmer, Gary's Automotive in Boise, Idaho. Yes. Gary, give us some great words to live by.
If you treat your customers well, you do everything you can do for them, and really appreciate them, they will appreciate you, and they will come back. And that makes the whole marketing game so much easier if all of it is just return customers that trust you.
Yeah, wow.
It's a great, great world to live in at that point in time.
Great. Thanks for sharing. Hey, thanks for being on the show. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, man.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Hey, guys and gals, thanks so much for listening. Find additional show notes on Gary Plimmer from Gary's Automotive, his bio, pictures, and a link to his company. Now, find them exclusively on the show's episodes page on Remarkable Results Radio. And that's also the place where you can subscribe to be an insider and get the pulse on every new episode release in the newsletter. And you can also find top industry links and resources on the site. I really do appreciate your engagement with the podcast and would ask that you help spread the word. Comment on all episode announcements on Facebook and retweet them on Twitter. Your help is needed to unite our industry, and I thank you. And I'm so grateful for your support. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.